Romans chapter 8. Situations can sometimes look so challenging, we might be tempted to think they are hopeless or we'll never be able to overcome them. But see, that's not what our loving and almighty God has to say about it. You're there in Romans. We're going to look to verse 33. And this is going to be the Amplified that I'm reading out of this morning right here for this one. Who will bring any charge against God's elect, His chosen ones, and that is us? Is it God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us in a right relationship with Himself? Who is the one who condemns us? Christ Jesus is the one who died to pay our penalty. And more than that, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, interceding with the Father for us right now. Right now. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? These trials and difficulties listed here not only do not separate us from Christ's love, they make us more than conquerors by forcing us to depend even on Him more. Verse 36, just as it is written and forever remains written, for your sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. I read that again. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. And gain an overwhelming victory through Him who loved us so much that He died for us. For I am convinced beyond any doubt. See, doubt, it's a seed. And if you plant that seed of doubt, it grows up into fear. Did you know that? For I am convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present or and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In His Word, He tells us we are more than conquerors and we gain the overwhelming victory through Christ. Absolutely nothing can separate believers from God's love. Nothing hard or dangerous. Neither death nor life can separate us. If God, the created one, is for us, now in Romans 8, verse 31, there was a, if God be for us, who can be against us? And no created thing, no created thing can separate us. Then our security in Him is absolute. No matter what. Any created thing. Any and every created thing. God created Lucifer. Who we now know as Satan, our adversary. But God only creates good things. Good point, Shirley. Because God did not create the evil that Lucifer bore in his heart. He chose to act upon it. And you know what it was called? P-R-I-D-E. Pride. He was the most beautiful, covered with every precious stone there was. He said he was created blameless. In Ezekiel 28. He was created blameless. He was perfect. But you know what angels have? The same thing you have. A free will. And he made the wrong choice. There is a difference, though, between the angels and us. There's no redemption for them. There is redemption for us through Christ Jesus. That was the Holy Ghost this morning, so I had to write that one in. No, surely that was pretty cool. I like that we lined that right up there. Holy Spirit connects things here, puts things together for a clearer understanding of who we are in Christ. But he always points us to Christ. So we're more than conquerors. But how about Philippians 4:13? Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things. What do we have strength for?
All things.
All things. In Christ, who empowers me, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. His power and ability to overcome everything the devil tries to throw at us lives inside of us. Did you get that? His power and ability to overcome everything the devil tries to throw at us lives inside us. Scripture tells us, greater is he that is living in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, by the way. Holy Spirit is the greater one living in us, whose power and ability will cause us to triumph every time. I said every time. Because in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ. Always. Always. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. God is for us. We have the right to use the name of Jesus with all its power and authority, the name above all names, the name above all names. What about cancer? Jesus is the answer. MS. Jesus is the answer. You know, cancer's a name, but they got how many variations of cancer that they come up with? It's still one name, cancer. And Jesus has the power to overcome that through his name. And he said for us to use it and to pray in his name. To pray for that healing. And we have victories in this church of people who are cancer free. They stood on the word. They took their treatments. And they're here today. And I rejoice with them. Their victories. And they give the glory to God. I'm talking about Debbie. 3 years cancer free. The niece is cancer free. My wife is cancer free. Jesus! Hallelujah. Put the name to work. Hallelujah. And we have His Holy Spirit living in us. Holy Spirit in us brings the anointing of God on us. Mm-hmm. In God, no situation is hopeless when we factor in the power of His anointing. The anointing factor is the very dunamis power of God at work in our particular situation. But we have to believe it. Yes, we have to believe it. We have to trust in Him to help us rather than trying everything we know to do to turn that situation around ourselves. How many of you tried and tried and tried and it didn't turn around? And then when you finally gave it to God, everything worked out. Amen. We could save ourselves so much trouble if we went to Him first. And the first thing we speak is the Word. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith. Remember that? The Greek scholar said that's the way it should have been translated back in Mark 11, 22. Have the God kind of faith. Jesus, the anointed of God, is the second person in the Godhead. He is the Word, who was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. God told the devil in the Garden of Eden that there was one coming who would, one says bruised, I like crushed. Well, crush his head. And that one who is coming is Jesus. And he done crushed him. By the way, that's Genesis 3:15, surely. Genesis 3:15. And many generations later, God told His covenant partner, Abraham, that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Because in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All because you obey me. Wow. Wow. He had to obey him. You know what got us into this problem in the first place, back in the garden? They weren't obedient. We're not obedient. To one thing, don't do. Don't touch the easy button. 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 That was easy. That's what happened to them. They got so convinced they could just do it. It was disobedience on their part. But now here, through His obedience, all the nations of the world were going to be blessed. So we're blessed because of what Abraham did. Amen. Throughout the Old Testament, God spoke through the mouths of His prophets, calling those things that were not as though they were, that this Messiah, the Anointed One, was coming. Moses said, referring to Him in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, the Lord, your God, will give you a man who speaks for God like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. You hear that? You must listen to him. Through God's anointing, we see that it was on a lot of the, in the Old Covenant, it was on the priests and prophets and kings. But see, this one that was coming would be anointed like no other. When this anointed one, the Word, was manifested in the earth, John 1:14, by the way, surely. You know, okay. He took upon himself flesh in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. Which reads, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus was born as a baby to a virgin girl in Bethlehem. Now, because in Micah, only because I'm trying to give you some background here, Micah 5, verse 2, says this, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the family groups of Judah. But from you, one will come who will rule for me, in Israel. His coming was planned long ago from the beginning. I brought it up because also I want you to Bethlehem. Now Bethlehem in the Hebrew means house of bread. Okay? Follow me there? This is in John chapter 6, verse 51. John chapter 6, verse 51. This is what Jesus has to say. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. You see the correlation? If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I give is my flesh. I will give this for the life of the world. How can Jesus give us his flesh as bread to eat? To eat living bread means to accept Christ into our lives and become united with him. We are united with Jesus in two ways. One, by believing in his death, the sacrifice of his flesh, and the resurrection. And two, by devoting ourselves to living as he requires, depending on his teaching, his word, for guidance, and trusting in the Holy Spirit for power. God will tie all this together for you. You'll see Rome 1. Now in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus reads the prophecy of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 about himself. I like that. Jesus gets up, they hand him the scroll, and he knows right where he's going. He's right to it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want us to go. I want to go to Leviticus real quick here. Leviticus 25. You'll see where we're just tied in here. Verse 9. Then you shall cause the trumpet of jubilee to sound on the earth on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the day of atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. Then Jesus stuns everybody in that synagogue. Because when he closed and sat back down, and he said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. They all knew exactly what he meant. Jesus was saying to all who were present that day, I am the Messiah, the anointed one, your jubilee, the day of atonement. They were too blinded to even see it. There were some that did. But see, that's for us now. He's showing it's a growing process for us to get to the point where we need to be in our lives. And trusting, knowing that Christ has already came. You know, there's so many others that do not believe. They still believe he was just a plain old prophet. You know. And that's where we come in. And we have been also anointed to preach. So preach to those. And believe me, you'll know the opportune time you have because the Holy Spirit will make it easy. Because if not, he'll shut it up. Because I know you don't go in without the Holy Spirit. I did it as a young Christian. Whew, man, you in for a fight if you ain't ready with the Holy Ghost. But I ended up having the victory, though. The burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God was in operation in the life of Jesus. The covenant anointed one of God. He was all God and he was all man. Becoming sin for us to accomplish the eternal plan of redemption that was in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Peter tells us, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or revealed in these last times for us. I like that. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Let me just say, God is omniscient. You got me? God is omniscient. Meaning he has complete and maximum knowledge. He is the original know-it-all. He knows it all. I'm telling you. He is never, ever caught off guard or without an answer. Without an answer to any problem or any situation.
Amen. Say that again.
He is never caught off guard or without an answer to any problem or situation. His word has the answer for everything because it is the word. And Jesus is the word, the truth, the life, and the way. What has he redeemed us from? Well, the curse of the law. Sin and death. What's in sin and death? Sickness and disease. Redeemed. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Remember, you got Jesus living in you, right? Amen. Okay. And God is with us. Okay? And we know we got Jesus in our heart. But see, we're headed somewhere. Jesus, it says right here about him, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. How many did he heal?
All.
All who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Do you know there's some ministers that don't believe in healing? And there are people sitting there probably listening to them preach. And they figure they get sick, they have no hope. I'll tell you, our hope is in Jesus, hallelujah. He is the anchor, hallelujah. When that storm is hitting you and you need to be anchored tight, you just get on, hang on to Jesus there. Drop the anchor. You ain't going anywhere. And if you need to make a homemade one, just ask Charles. He'll show you how to make one on a boat. Hallelujah. But you just think of that. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. There, right now, just think about it. There is now a born again, Holy Spirit baptized, resurrected, glorified man in the Godhead. You understand that? He came down and became flesh like us. Right. And you know what? He's our blood brother. That's what he is, our blood brother. And that's how he refers you as his brother. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus makes men holy. He takes away their sins. Both Jesus and the ones being made holy have the same Father. This is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. Amen. And sisters. Everybody thinks because that's the way they referred when they say man, you know, they're talking about all of us. Men and women alike. His anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God on him, on Jesus, is now in us. Ooh, let that sink in for a second. His anointing, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God on him is now in us. And it's on us, rubbing that anointing. Hallelujah. It is the very presence and essence of God Himself. His Holy Spirit poured on, smeared over, and rubbed into us, enabling us to do what only God can do through us. And because of the new covenant, He came in us by Holy Spirit. John 14:17. Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." I like that. "And will be in you." Jesus said that. Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth here, because He is truth and guides us into all truth. The world neither sees Him nor knows Him. Does not mean merely that the world is not able to visually identify Holy Spirit, because He is a spirit. Something more is meant. The Spirit of God is active in the world, but His acts go unnoticed by the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Non-believers do not understand what is happening around the world in or in our nation from a spiritual point. But born-again, spirit-filled believers can, as their eyes open up, and they are rejoicing. They are rejoicing, and we are rejoicing, for we are seeing Holy Spirit moving in our nation. This is God's nation. The land of the free and the home of the brave. And America shall be saved. He spoke that through a prophet, to a mighty evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. How long ago? That America shall be saved. He got a word from the Lord. And we're calling that to His remembrance. When we do that, so God tells us to do. I said it, bring it to my remembrance so I can move upon it. Since we have been doing that, and as groups of people all around this country, by the hundreds of thousands and millions, are now saying that America shall be saved. That's what you said, Lord, and we're seeing it. We are seeing it. They don't know what's going on in Washington, D.C. But we, as believers, depending on the Holy Spirit, we are getting a clear interpretation of what is going on spiritually. Through His anointing within us, He has enabled us to do the same works He did and greater works than He did, because the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. His anointing enables us to do those things which natural flesh cannot do without God. Simply put, real Bible anointing is God on flesh, doing those things flesh cannot do. It manifests when humanity and divine presence come together. In God, no situation is hopeless. When we factor in the power of His anointing. The anointing factor is the mighty power of God working in us. If you're breaking out of bondages, for example, are you hearing me? You hear me? Listen. If you're breaking out of bondages, for example, and just keep falling back into old habits. The anointing of the Spirit of God doesn't just break the yokes of bondage in your life. God's anointing totally obliterates them until there is no evidence the yoke ever existed. Amen. The Holy Spirit in you, the anointing of God is in you. You are able to do that. You are able to destroy those bondages like they never, ever existed. And you will be free. And this is your year, the year 2023, to be free from those bondages. That's why all this teaching seems to, you know, I just seeing now God's bringing us to make sure we get back. We got to get our back on our faith. We got to get back in the Word. And we got to, now we said, you have the anointing. How many of you realize you had the anointing power in you? Isaiah 10, verse 27. It says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that this burden, that his burden shall be taken away from you. This is about the Assyrian king and that and what he was doing to them back then. Okay. That his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-breaking power of God. The anointing is what empowers man or a woman to function supernaturally. We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural things. You can and call yourself because you have the ability, you have the anointing. The anointing. The anointing factor. Anointing is that which enables us to do the supernatural things. The anointing factor is God on flesh in our life. Doing those things only God can do. We don't have the strength in ourselves or what it takes to successfully combat what is coming against us. It's one thing to try to overcome, but it's another to have the confidence to step back. Step back and allow the power of God in your spirit, the anointing, to take over. With the anointing factor, we are victory going someplace to happen. You understand that? We are in Jesus, and He is in us. The anointing is only in Him because it is the Spirit of God Himself. He has made His dunamis power and ability available to us so we can confidently say, and say this with me, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's King James Version. Oh, why did I use King James Version? Because if you notice here, it uses the word which. Which. It is literally saying this. And say this now with me. I can do all things through the Anointed One. And His anointed, which strengthens me. See, there it is. The Anointed One, living in you. And His anointing is what's going to give you the strength. The strength to say, I can do all things through Christ. God's anointing strengthens you when you tap into the power of the Greater One, you invited into your life. You invited Him into your life. So He's in you. Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You asked him to come into your heart. When you did, he came in. Holy Ghost is in you, hallelujah. The anointing of God is in you. You're more powerful than you realized. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. And I'm going to send you the one. The one who's going to lead you into all truth. Then he also said this. In John 16:15, Jesus, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. What the Father has is what the Son has. What the Son has, the Spirit will declare it to us. However, the focus will be on Jesus because he is the image of the invisible God. His steps are the only ones we are to follow. Yep. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll continually reveal Jesus Christ to you to get you to a deeper, more intimate relationship than you've ever had before when you tap in to the Holy Spirit. Because we are in him, we can expect the anointing factor to rise up in us and show us the way to victory. Because in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says this, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That'll be the Holy Spirit speaking. And if he tells you you're going the wrong direction, you better listen and make a big U-turn real quick. One way to tap into his anointing is by praying in your prayer language in other tongues. I don't know why so many people still have a problem with that. And you know, and you just keep going. And even if you said, hey, I've been baptized in it, but I'm still not. That's because you're letting your mind, don't let your mind do it. Let your heart speak. Let your heart speak and get more confidence in your praying in tongues than another tongue. And it'll come. It'll come. I never had hands laid on me when I got it. I got it because I wanted it. Going up Green Tree Hill. That's when Jesus moved. He moved for me. I wanted it so bad. I ended up having to pull off the side of the road. And I just went off and was praying in tongues. All because Jesus heard my prayer. I wanted to be able to pray in tongues. Because if you have it and you want it, you can just say, Father, come into me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want it, Lord God. Please pour it out upon me. And he will pour it out upon you. He will not hold it back. Don't you think he's holding it back? You ask for it, he'll give it to you. Because he knows it's a good thing. Because there are some things you ask him for. He says, oh, you don't want that. And you keep asking him, you don't want that. And you keep pursuing it. Next thing you know, you ended up having to get it somehow, but he wasn't blessing it. And you said, what did I do this for, Lord? He said, well, I told you time and time again. You just ain't listening. Would you listen once in a while? Quit doing all the talking and do some listening to me, he says. When you pray in tongues, your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, says is speaking mysteries about the situation just between you and God. Satan can't hear a word you're saying because he doesn't understand that language. And he hasn't found anybody that can interpret it for him. So when you're talking and praying in tongues to the Lord, He's the only one who's going to hear it. But this kind of help, wisdom and ability in you as you yield to Holy Spirit, He can overcome every evil intention coming against you, deliver you fully, and turn every negative situation around to make something good come out of it, despite the devil's best efforts. He is a defeated foe. One was born that crushed his head. So the next time you're confronted by impossible circumstances, remember you have a covenant right to expect the power of God in your life to work on your behalf. Factor in the power of God's Word. Factor in the power of His Spirit. Factor in the power of the anointing. And you watch those things, the circumstances, every situation, you watch it change. The anointing. You've got the Word. You've got God. You've got the Word. And you've got the anointing. When God said, "Let there be light," where did the power come from to make the light? The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And He's only going to speak to you what the Father has told Him to say. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And the tribe has a couple songs that